So let's look at that buried treasure and pearl of great price again. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure, a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Remember, he doesn't just buy the treasure, he buys the field. All that goes with it. We have to buy all that goes with the gospel, not just the good part. In that field, there were things that weren't treasures, in a sense. But he bought the whole field so he could legally own the treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking beautiful or goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. There is some disagreement among theologians and Bible scholars and others as to who or what is the pearl of great price. Some, though in the minority, they believe that that pearl is the church, and that Jesus is the merchantman seeking and finds the pearl. I don't agree with that, because it wouldn't make sense that Jesus is seeking goodly pearls and then comes across the pearl of great price. No, he's not seeking goodly pearls. He's only seeking the pearl of great price. So I stand with many who believe that that pearl is Jesus Christ, it is his gospel, it is his kingdom, but especially Jesus Christ. 17th century Presbyterian minister Samuel Rutherford, if you haven't read any of his works, you should. He's quite a fantastic saint of old. See that you buy the field where the pearl is. Sell all and make a purchase of salvation. Think it not easy, for it is a steep ascent to eternal glory. Many are lying dead by the way, slain with security. Samuel Rutherford is a Calvinist that's dear to my heart, okay, as many are, though I'm not in their school of theology exactly. Think it not easy, this ascent to eternal glory. Many are lying dead. And I think this is the message the church needs to hear more than anything today. Not God loves them, but that they're lying dead by the way, slain with security, a false security. Slain with security. There are two things that Mr. Rutherford says here that are quite important. It is a steep ascent. That is the stairway that the Apostle Peter talks about. And they are actually slain with security. Here is the stairway again, just to refresh your memories. The stairway that leads to heaven. It's not my invention. It's brought there, put there by God Almighty. You start with faith in Jesus Christ. You add to your faith, says Peter, moral excellency or virtue. Therefore, you must flee all that is not virtuous. Otherwise, you cannot have or attain any moral excellency unless you flee all that is improper. When you do your income taxes, you must flee the temptation to cheat, to hide figures from the government, or you will never be morally excellent. You must always tell the truth, or you can never be morally excellent. You must get rid of all pride, because pride is immoral. It is an abomination in the eyes of God. So as we are fleeing these things, only as we flee these things can we grow in moral excellency. And then our knowledge, as we learned last week, is not just book knowledge of God. It is intimacy. Remember what Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ is not based on your amount of Bible knowledge or how much time you read the Bible or how much time you spend in prayer. It's whether you are obedient to him or not. That is intimacy with God. That's the knowledge you can only have as you flee that which is improper. And then you begin to gain self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness, which is love for the brothers and sisters. Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you, speaking to the church. And then it's love for all, including our worst enemies. One that would lay down one's life. Again, from 1 Timothy, now the end of the commandment is charity. It's love, but it's out of a pure heart. So if we are not fleeing that which is immoral, remember, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things, said the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4. If there be any virtue, think on those things that are good and just and lovely and honest. You have to get rid of corrupt thoughts, bitter thoughts, proud thoughts, angry thoughts, selfish thoughts, covetous thoughts. And as we are fleeing these things, then we begin to have a pure heart. We are casting off the works of darkness. Then we have a good conscience. Faith unfeigned, true biblical faith. Rutherford said, slain with security. How would you like to have three strong security agents with guns with you all the time? You'd feel so secure, right? Unless they were ISIS. Hey, I got three security guards for you. No, they'll kill you. They'll behead you. They'll chop you up in little pieces. There's false security that is as ISIS protecting your family. Slain with security. Jude writes in that first verse, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved, the only true security is preservation in Jesus Christ. It's not preserved by Christ, but in Christ. We are preserved forever in Jesus Christ. The Greek word preserve is aereo. It means to attend to carefully, to take care of, A, to guard, B, to keep. God will keep his sheep. There is preservation in Jesus Christ. That's why he is our treasure. That's why he is our pearl of great price. And all the other goodly pearls cannot keep us. They cannot protect us unless we are in Christ. The word treasure, defined by dictionary.com, is anything or person greatly valued or highly prized. Treasure. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures. Those are the goodly pearls. And we all seek or have sought goodly pearls in life. Things that make us happy. Things that make us comfortable. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what we are to seek. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves goodly pearls upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, that goodly pearl, okay, that best of pearls, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in mortal bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, what treasure is he speaking about? Let's go back a couple verses and we'll see. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the treasure we have in our earthen vessels. No other treasure matters. His person, his spirit, his word. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's the light we have, the light of Christ. Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is the treasure, the light of salvation, the light of the gospel. To shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. Of course, in heaven there are many rewards to be given. Streets of gold, beautiful homes, a tearless, painless life, many treasures. But the greatest treasure is the Lord himself. I like what some versions translate this. Genesis 15:1, God said, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Some translations say, "Your reward, Abram, will be great." Okay, it's good. This is better. I am your, notice, exceeding great reward. There's no reward that you will have that is greater than myself. We talked about this before. And that means we shall be made like him. There's no greater reward. I am your exceeding great reward. And so, according to the parable of the pearl and the treasure, we have to give up everything to follow Christ. We have to surrender all to him. All your dreams, all your comforts. You have to be willing to follow him. D.A. Carson, theological professor at Trinity Seminary, "The kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it." Cheap grace, easy believism, which is spawned in hell, not in heaven, is wisdom that comes from beneath, not from above, does not want to abandon everything to secure heaven. They don't want to run the race to win the prize. The kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. The cost of discipleship, says Carson. The cost of discipleship. From the ESV version, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," said Christ. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Those early apostles were sent out not just to get people to believe, but to be disciples. The command was to make disciples of all people, of all nations. Disciple is one who follows Jesus Christ. A disciple is a student of Christ. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And what are these apostles to teach those who are learning to be disciples? "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." Teach them to obey. You cannot be a disciple unless you obey. "And I am with you always to the end of the age." That's why Jesus taught in John 15, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments," and again, there's only one way, as I said last week, there's only one way to be intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, and that's through obedience. And there's only one way to abide in the love of God, in the intimacy of God in Christ. Same thing, obedience. "If you keep my commandments," not the 613 mitzvah of the Old Testament, the New Testament commandments of loving God with all your heart, loving others, loving holiness, loving his will, willing to give your all. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Last week I shared a quote with you from the Olympian Eric Liddell, 1924 Olympics in Paris. After the Olympics, he went back to China as a missionary, where He ended up in a concentration camp, an internment camp for civilians. And I gave you this quote. I'll give it to you again. It's so important. One word stands out from all others as the key to knowing God. Key to intimacy. He's not talking about biblical book knowledge. The devil has that. One word stands out from all others as the key to knowing God, to having His peace and assurance in your life. It is obedience. One word. Obedience. When we live a life of faith that obeys, we continue in the love of God. We continue in the love of Christ. We abide in Him. The love of Christ is why He is our great treasure. Why He is the pearl of great price. Sweep aside all the other goodly pearls. Well, how precious they are to the world. But that pearl of great price, that is worth giving up everything for. And one must surrender all. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. See, it's His love we want to abide in. It's His joy that we want, that my joy might remain in you, so that your joy might be full. The only way that your joy will be full is if Christ's joy dwells in you. Not just love, not just joy, but also peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No one was as loving as Jesus Christ. No one was as peaceful as Jesus Christ. No one was as joyful as Jesus Christ. He was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And He was anointed with the oil of gladness above all others. His grief was not for Himself. His grief was for the lost sheep. Do you have that peace? The peace of Christ. My peace. My joy. My love. How peaceful was Jesus Christ? You remember during the storm, He was asleep in the back of the boat when the disciples were panicking. When you panic, say, hey, wake up. I don't have the peace of Christ. When you fear, kick yourself. Don't condemn yourself, just kick yourself. And say, I don't have the peace of Christ. Maybe you don't have the pearl of great price. Maybe you haven't given up everything yet to possess that pearl. And we have rest. They shall enter into my rest. Continue in my love, said Jesus. That your joy may be full. My joy in you, that your joy may be full. My peace I give unto you. And those who cease from themselves, it's another expression of giving up self, they shall enter into my rest. His peace, His calm. We need the calm of Christ in a world that is anything but calm. How do we get that rest? Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I was a little boy in this church growing up, I've been attending this church since 1957. Still not tired of it. Once in a while, my grandfather would preach. And he was the kind of guy that he couldn't stand behind a pulpit. He had to walk down the aisles. Okay, walk this way and that way. He'd come in the aisles. He'd walk in the pews if he could. Right? And he was a fiery preacher. I remember the sermon he preached. I guess I was about 10 years old. He said, you want that rest? There are three things you have to do. Number one, you come to Jesus Christ. Number two, you take His yoke upon you. And number three, you have to learn from him. Learning is the discipleship. You have to learn. And then he says, you shall find rest for your souls. We have that rest, his rest, when we cease from ourselves and put on his yoke. Here's a painting, I'm going to say a photograph, they didn't have cameras back in these times, of the Helvetians or the Swiss clans that fought against Rome. They captured some Roman soldiers. The Romans practiced the same thing. It was called passing under the yoke. When they captured the enemy soldier, they would humiliate them. Strip them down to barely nothing. Take away all their weapons. Bind their hands. And make them humbly walk underneath a yoke. Here the Swiss would use a yoke. Sometimes the Romans would take spears. It was an admission of surrender. That you have lost. You are now our slaves. See, if we want rest, we have to become a slave of Jesus Christ. We have to admit our loss. We have to surrender. We have to cease from ourselves. We have to become his servants. We have to yield. We become his property. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. That's what passing under the yoke meant. A few weeks ago, I shared with you how that I heard in a couple of contemporary Christian songs things that troubled me. The first was, for king and country, now there is no time left to waste. Yeah, you can make your great escape. We're made to run wild, run wild, run wild. We're made to run wild, run wild, run wild. Remember that? I said, is there something I'm not getting here? This is a contemporary Christian song by men who claim themselves to be born-again Christians. And I share with you a song by Chris Tomlin, No Chains on Me. Like a rolling stone, like a runaway train, no turning back. No more yesterdays, my heart is free, no chains on me. God, you raised me up from the grave, the cross before, I'm on my way. My heart is free, no chains on me. Runaway train. Then I came across another one. Ed was listening to it. Not that he was enjoying it. You weren't enjoying it, were you? I came in the office there and it was playing on. He has all these songs going by Matt Maher called Deliverer. Another one. My God, from the flood and from the fire, you bought me out. You brought me out. I'm alive with a faith. Just like a child, I'm not afraid. I'm running wild again. Lord, what am I missing here? What's wrong here? We were wild before we come to Christ. Now we are to wear his yoke. But this is, I think, the theme of 21st century Christianity. Throw off the chains of Christ. Don't come under the yoke of Christ. Don't come under obedience or surrender to Christ. Go wild. When Dale and I brought Michael down to Liberty University and say, son, now go wild, man. Just go wild. Have a good time. Right? Is that what you did for Shelby when you took her to college? Judy, go wild, girl. Girls gone wild. You saw that? You heard about that? The church has gone wild. We're no longer submissive to Christ. His word no longer binds us. We want to be so free, but we're not free until we put that yoke on. Why is Christ our treasure? I am thy exceeding great reward. I am the greatest of treasures. I am the pearl of great price. Forget the other goodly pearls. Give them up. Embrace me. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. Our redemption is in Christ. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. What is in Christ? The law of the Spirit of life. Life is in Christ. That is why he is our great treasure. That is why he is our exceedingly great reward. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. How can we, who are so prone to sin, who are so much we're in love with sin, how can we be set apart from sin, all that which is unvirtuous, through the sanctification that is in Christ, is in him. 2 Corinthians 2:14, what else do we have in Christ? Why Jesus said, stay in me, abide in me, abide in my love, abide in my joy, abide in my peace, abide in my rest, abide in my sanctifying powers. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's where our hope is. It's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do we become new? Completely, instantly, 100%? Are we all perfectly like Jesus Christ? No. That's why we are commanded to abide in Christ. And let that which we have heard, the gospel, abide in us. So we are being made new by his new mercies every morning. We are being changed into his image. Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ. Liberty from the bondage of the law, which the Galatians went back into. The bondage of the law. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. And again, don't mistake and confuse obedience to the New Testament teachings as bondage to the law. There are many Christians that do. Obedience is a dirty word for a lot of Christians. I told you, my son and I were down south in a very large church, over 2,000 people, and the pastor gave a very beautiful sermon, but at the end he said, now remember, friends, holiness is optional. Obedience is optional. It's not. There's only one way to be intimate. Jesus said to those men who said, Lord, Lord, I never knew you. You were never intimate with me. And those who continue in sin from the beginning, as Satan did, without repentance, Jesus said, you've never known me. Never known God. Never been intimate with God. Ephesians 1 and 3. Peace be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing you need is in Christ. All wisdom, all knowledge dwells in Christ. You have to look nowhere else but to Christ. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If there be any consolation, that's comfort, in Christ. Now here's an important scripture, because he's saying there is comfort in Christ. He is the God of all comfort. But he says, if there be any comfort in Christ, any comfort of his love, any fellowship of the Spirit, that's intimacy with the Holy Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. If you want that comfort, that's in Christ. Just as if you want that rest that's in Christ, you have to take his yoke. You want that intimacy with Christ? You have to obey. You want that comfort that's in Christ? The comfort of his love? The comfort of his Spirit? You must humble yourself and think of others better than yourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Christ. That is why he is the pearl of great price. That is why he is our exceedingly great treasure. Because only these things can only be found in Jesus Christ. Redemption, salvation, only in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, Paul writes, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." Redemption in Christ. And these are just some of the things. The spirit of life is in Christ. Sanctification, separation from sin is in Christ. Hope is in Christ. Triumph, new creation, liberty, every spiritual blessing, comfort and grace, only to be found in Jesus Christ. He said, "Abide in me. Abide in me." Do you have that faith that abides in Christ? Are you traveling on that stairway to heaven? You start in faith. And again, many think that's all they need. Just faith. But no. Make disciples of all nations. Those who follow me shall not walk in darkness. Alan Redpath said, "If you look up into his face and say, 'Yes, Lord, whatever it costs,' at that moment he'll flood your life with his presence and power." If you say less, "Yes, Lord." Even Saul of Tarsus, an arch enemy of Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus, said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And then, while he was blinded for a number of days, what did God show him? All the things that he must suffer. Would you be a Christian today if when you first knelt at the cross, he gave you a vision of all the things you must suffer? Many would not. Most probably would not. Would I? Probably not. I will show him all things he must suffer. The shipwrecks, the stoning, the beating, the betrayal, the false accusations, the trial, the beheading, the imprisonments, the dungeon, the dirt, the muck, the mire. If you look up into his face, the face of Christ, and say, "Yes, Lord, whatever it costs," at that moment he'll flood your life with his presence and power. Sometimes people wonder about salvation. Is it 100% God and zero man? Is it 50% God, 50 man? It's neither. It's 100 and 100. I believe it's 100 and 100. The pearl of great price, Jesus Christ, God gave his only begotten Son. He gave all his best. And what did the man do? He gave up everything to follow Christ. 100% and 100%. It's not 100% God and 0% man. It's not 50-50. It's 100 and 100. Though God's 100 is a lot bigger than ours. You say, how can that be? 100% is 100%, no? If a soldier goes to war, he is committed to give 100% of his life. But the nation is also committed to give 100% of its resources. Who has the greater commitment? Well, the nation has more to give. It's 100%. The soldier has one life, one gun perhaps. Maybe he'll just fight in one battle, but he's got to give all, or he's not a good soldier. No, I believe salvation is 100% and 100%. By his grace, we can give our all to him. We're going to close with that beautiful hymn, "I Surrender All." All to thee, my blessed Savior. And you know, if we sing this, and I've sung this in my life many times, I've said growing up since 1957 here, we've sung this in many times. I sang it but didn't mean it. You know, that made me a hypocrite. That's all it made me, a hypocrite. And if we could sing this song and not yield, again, do what Redpath said. Look up into his face and say, "Yea, Lord, whatever it costs, I will follow you. Whatever it costs, he will flood your life with the life of Christ. And you will enjoy his love and his peace and his rest You will enjoy His joy, His power, only as we surrender. Let's stand together and sing, I Surrender All. It starts with just a humble prayer, Lord, I give you my life. And then every day, we have to make sure that we keep giving Him our all. And if we fail, we say, Lord, forgive me. We confess that. Remember that the only sin that Isaiah spoke of in that 53rd chapter, when he talked about our iniquities being put upon the Messiah, the only sin he mentioned was that all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way. That is the sin that sends everybody to hell. Everybody in hell will have that same sin marked before them. We went our own way. We did not yield to God. We did not surrender our lives to Him. Let us surrender all to Him. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I look back in my life, I don't have to look back too far to find times of my cooling down, losing fire, even backsliding, becoming lukewarm. And it all came down to this, when I stopped surrendering all. Because when you don't surrender all, then you stop obeying. You start going your own way. I surrender all. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. We are the soldier on the battlefield. We have to give our all. You are commander in chief, the Lord of hosts, and you gave your all, and you expect us to give our all. We will end up another casualty. Those who cannot make that steep ascent to eternal glory, who have been slain by a false security, because they went their own way. Oh Lord, save us from a false security. The only security lies in the faith that trusts in a God who only rewards the obedient. You have no crown for the backslider, for the lukewarm, unless they repent. Oh Lord, help us to press on for that full salvation that is to be brought to us at the coming of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are that pearl of great price. Lord, you are our exceedingly great reward. For all we need is in you. All we need is in Christ. So Lord, as your foot soldiers on the battlefield of life, may we never shrink from our duty, but endure hardness as good soldiers. At any cost, Lord, we want to be your disciples. Whatever you demand of us, whatever you take from us, whatever you strip away from us, we will be your people. We will love you. We will take joyfully the spoiling of our goods if need be. Help us to love you, Lord, with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, all our strength, Lord. We started here. If we haven't already, I surrender all. Maybe we need to do it again. And again and again. Help us, Lord. We look to your grace now. To the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Pray in his name. Amen. God bless you. Please.